Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. I'm at the European Commission in Brussels, where there's relief that the Greenland crisis has somewhat abated. But many in this town are no longer under any illusions that the transatlantic relationship can be stabilized while President Trump is in power. Others, however, say that the EU should keep trying because any worsening would only be a lose-lose situation. My guest today is in that second category. Valdis Dombrovskis is the EU's economy commissioner, and he's also in charge of simplification, which is a key priority for the union. Mr. Dombrovskis was prime minister of Latvia from 2009 to 2014. And he hails from the centre-right in that country. Commissioner, welcome to the programme.
Hello.
So a lot of EU leaders have been talking about rebuilding trust with the United States. Do you think that's possible, though, given that President Trump seems to be fundamentally hostile to the European Union?
Well, given the current geopolitical situation where we see Russia waging full-scale war in Ukraine, where we see in general authoritarian regimes trying to change established world order, obviously it's important that like-minded democracies work together. So therefore, our approach with relations with US is a constructive approach. We are seeking engagement. Obviously, we see that President Trump's administration is characterized, one could say, by unpredictability. So we also obviously need to be able to better stand on our own feet, be it our economic policy or security or and defense.
You say like-minded. I think that's the key phrase, because the Trump administration keeps showing Europe that it is not like-minded. Do you think Europe needs to be much more forceful in putting possible retaliation on the table, things like the trade bazooka, for example? Is it being too cautious?
Well, I think the EU was very clear when we were facing these threats concerning Greenland, that first of all, the threats to the sovereignty and territorial integrity of EU member states are not acceptable. And so are the tariff threats. And correspondingly, we were ready to react forcefully. I think that was one of the factors which eventually helped to change President Trump's mind. And the focus now is where it should be, on how to strengthen the security in the Arctic region. But throughout also this crisis, Danish and Greenland authorities, supported by the EU, had been indicated that we are open to discuss how we cooperate on strengthening the security in Arctic.
And on the economic side of the relationship with the US, I mean, obviously, as you know, there are moves now in the European Parliament to bring back the US-EU trade agreement. Your own political movement, actually, the EPP, wants to do that. Other political groups in Parliament don't. Is it the right time to come back to business as usual, or should Europe wait before deciding to go ahead with this free trade deal, depending on what happens with Greenland?
Well, I think it was clear that the move of European Parliament to suspend the work on this agreement was done in a context of U.S. threats concerning Greenland. These are currently removed from the table. So we managed to get the situation into constructive trajectory. Correspondingly, it would be important to indeed finalize the agreement also from our side, because it's important also to provide some stability and predictability for economies and businesses on both sides of the Atlantic. It's worth noting that EU-US trade and investment relationship is largest in the world.
Let's talk about the 90 billion euro loan that the EU agreed for Ukraine. There's still some disagreement between European capitals over how much of that money Kyiv should be allowed to spend on weapons manufactured outside the EU. As a Latvian, I'm guessing you think that Ukraine should have a free hand on that.
I think what we have proposed as European Commission is a balanced solution. So there is a clear priority for European manufacturers, and that includes Ukraine itself, European Union, EFTA states. It also allows possibility for other countries which have reached agreements with in a context of our SAFE program with European Union. But there is also a cascading mechanism, meaning that if there's certain military equipment which Ukraine urgently needs for its defense needs, but which are not readily available from the eligible producers, Ukraine can also purchase this equipment from other producers. For example, right now, the situation in Ukraine is very dire. We see that Russia has substantially intensified its attacks against Ukrainian cities, against Ukrainian energy, and in a situation like this, to block weapons deliveries, for example, air defense systems or other deliveries which are urgently needed, certainly would not be justified. We also must keep in mind that Ukraine has to defend itself now.
Let's switch to simplification. You have adopted several so-called omnibuses. And if we take the environmental omnibus simplification legislation, which is the eighth package, this is pledging 1 billion euros in yearly savings for businesses. That's your own forecast from the European Commission. I wanted to focus on this particular omnibus because I think it's raised the most hackles from the various environmental groups, trade unions, and even the European Ombudsman. And they're very worried about the stripping back of environmental reporting standards. So are you actually going back on the Green Deal with this omnibus?
No, we had been very clear since the very beginning that with our simplification work is not deregulation. So we are not giving away our high social or environmental standards. We are sticking with the targets of European Green Deal, 2030 targets, 2050 targets. So what it's about is how to reach our goals in a simpler and less burdensome manner.
But you don't know if the environmental standards are being met if you've taken away the reporting requirements, surely?
I want to be precise. We are not taking away reporting requirements.
Well,
we are simplifying
removing some of them. For example, on farmers and aquaculture.
Well, we are indeed simplifying the reporting requirements. We are reducing administrative burden, and actually we are reaching the goals of the European Green Deal by investing and innovating, not by writing endless reports.
So you're not deterred, for example, by the European Ombudsman, which is saying that it's questioned the transparency and accountability of the simplification process. I mean, you seem to have quite a lot of opposition to this whole drive.
Well, indeed, if we are discussing simplification, politically it's not simple at all. We see that the positions of different political groups, notably in European Parliament, are quite different. But at the same time, if you listen also to businesses, a majority of European businesses are showing administrative burden, excessive administrative burden, as an obstacle for development and investing in Europe. Majority of small and medium enterprises are saying it's their main obstacle, and that's why we are pursuing this simplification agenda with the aim to reduce the overall administrative burden by 25% for all companies and by 35% for small and medium enterprises.
I want to ask you about the broader economic picture. In November, your European Commission forecast that the Eurozone would grow by just 1.2% this year, so in 2026. Is that kind of disappointing as a growth forecast? And how can you square that with all the ambitions that the Commission has on defense spending and so on?
Well, indeed, we do have modest economic growth, but at the same time, in a series of consecutive economic shocks we have been facing in recent years, starting with COVID-19 pandemics, energy crisis, all the implications of Russia's war in Ukraine, current trade unpredictability and Trump tariffs and so on and so forth. Despite all this, EU economy is proving resilient. It continues to grow. So if we discuss EU as a whole, we expect economic growth in a range of 1.4-1.5% this year and next. But obviously, we also have structural challenges we need to address. Our productivity growth is lagging behind other major economies already for decades. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need to focus indeed how to strengthen our competitiveness and economic growth. And this is one of the major priorities of the European Commission. One of the first initiatives of this European Commission was Competitiveness Compass, where we exactly outline all the factors affecting EU's competitiveness and set out how to address those factors and how to actually improve our competitiveness and productivity growth.
A question about France. You warned back in October that failure to get a grip on pension reform in France would have significant consequences. Now we see that the financial part of the French budget has been passed using this controversial 49.3 procedure. What's your perspective on all of that?
Well, indeed, we are following fiscal developments in France very closely. Obviously, it's important that also France set out its budget in line with the EU's fiscal rules and its medium-term fiscal structural plan. Well, this has been the case for the last year, where France eventually met the budget deficit target of 5.4%, and we know that the government is working intensively also to make sure that France stays on track also as regards this year's budget.
So you're despite a bit more optimistic than you were a few months ago, perhaps?
Well, we certainly see all the challenges. We see very complicated debates in the parliament, but we also see the government's determination to stay on track.
We'll end it there. Thank you so much for being our guest on Talking Europe. Valdis Dombrovskis, the EU Commissioner for Economy, Productivity and Simplification. Glad you could follow us here on this episode of Talking Europe.